Everyone has questions. Why am I here? Where will I go when I die? Is there really truth? But not everyone has biblical answers. Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study the Bible to draw closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here is Pastor Tom Brock.
Welcome to the Pastor's Study. Let me warn you, this is going to be one depressing half-hour TV show, but I don't want you to touch that dial because you're not going to hear what I'm going to talk to you about pretty much anywhere else. I'm going to talk about heresy in the church today. I'm a Lutheran, but I'm going to talk about heresy today in the Lutheran, Episcopal, and Presbyterian churches. These are called the mainline Protestant churches. Some are calling them now the sideline Protestant churches because people aren't going to them anymore. I mean, a lot of them are slipping, losing all kinds of membership, and they should. You know, if you would have told me when I was young that one day the ELCA Lutheran Church would be endorsing homosexual behavior and all for gay marriage, I would have said you're crazy. Well, it's here. If you would have told me when I was little that the ELCA Lutheran Church would pay for abortion for any reason, using offering dollars of the church to pay for abortion, I would have said no way. Well, way. Oy, these are sad days. We're going to do some new heresy update. You haven't heard some of this stuff. We're going to first of all talk about the the Episcopal Church, then the Lutheran Church, then the Presbyterian Church. Let's pray. Father, we're just grieved by what's happened to parts of your church. The Lutheran Church, the Episcopal Church, Presbyterian Church, these churches used to follow the Bible, and now they're following the world. And Lord, we would pray that everyone watching this program, you would open their ears, open my mouth, and Lord, speak to us and protect us from deception. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm a Lutheran, and we're going to get to Lutherans number two, but let's start with Episcopalians number one. The Episcopalians just had their national convention where they voted to create a new liturgy so the two lesbians or two homosexual men can now have a ceremony of blessing in the Episcopal Church. Someone who attended the Episcopal Convention sent a picture to a friend of mine. He showed it to me on his iPhone. A big sign saying, neutral gender bathroom. And he said, yeah, I'm at the Episcopal Convention. A number of years ago, the Episcopal Church in America installed a practicing, impenitent homosexual bishop by the name of Gene Robinson, and things have gone downhill ever since. Well, here's the update. At this year's Episcopal National Convention, they voted to make it illegal to discriminate against anyone. Specifically, this means now it is illegal to bar from the priesthood people who were born into one gender and live as another, or who do not identify themselves as male or female. In other words, a man who dresses as a woman, or a woman who dresses as a man, or a man who doesn't know if he is male or female, they can now be an Episcopal priest. Now let me introduce you to one of the Episcopal theologians. My name is Patrick Cheney. I am a seminary professor, theologian, and ordained minister. I teach at Episcopal Divinity School in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and I contribute to the Gay Voices section of the Huffington Post liberal blog. I am the author of a book, Radical Love, An Introduction to Queer Theology. I'm also the author of Discovering the Queer Christ, a book which rethinks the doctrines of sin and grace for gay people today. At Episcopal Divinity School, which trains priests to become Episcopal priests, they're having a panel called Intersex and Transgender Theologies. This panel will explore the following questions. What are the implications of intersex, I'm not even sure what that means, conditions, and transgender identity for Christian theologies? Well, lesbian Episcopal priest Reverend Dr. Kay Hawthorne Ragsdale. She's married her lesbian partner. She's the new president of Episcopal Divinity School in Cambridge, Massachusetts. She's very pro-abortion. I'm not making this up. I'm quoting her. When a woman wants a child but can't afford one because she hasn't the education necessary for a sustainable job or access to health care or daycare or adequate food, it is the abysmal priorities of our nations, the lack of social supports, the absence of justice that are the tragedies. The abortion is a blessing. And, get this, when a woman becomes pregnant within a loving, supportive, respectful relationship, and she has every option open to her, but she decides not to have the child, again, no tragedy is in sight, only blessing. The ability to enjoy God's good gift of sexuality without compromising one's education is simply a blessing. Did you catch that? Even if you're married and you got the money, but you want to get educated instead, she still thinks the abortion is a blessing. And she said that she was speaking to some, I think, feminist group. There are two things I want you please to remember. Abortion is a blessing and our work is not done. Let me hear you say it. Abortion is a blessing and our work is not done. Abortion is a blessing and our work is not done. Abortion is a blessing. So says the lesbian president of the Episcopal Divinity School. This is the Episcopal Church, folks. Let's move on to the Lutheran Church. I'm a Lutheran. The congregation I serve left the ELCA Lutheran Church years ago because they pay for abortions with offering dollars. That was one of the many reasons we left, and they still do. If you still go to an ELCA church, your money can pay for somebody's abortion for any reason. But let me talk about the ELCA Lutheran Church. I'm not making this up. You check this out. Go to herchurch.org. Ebenezer Lutheran Church in San Francisco is an ELCA congregation. They've changed the name to Her Church, and they painted the building purple, and now they worship the goddess Sophia, because Father, Son, Holy Spirit language is patriarchal and oppressive, so now they worship the goddess Sophia. If you go to their website, you'll see their goddess rosary that they pray. Our Mother who art within us, holy be your name. Pastor Stacy Bourne is an ELCA Lutheran pastor on the roster, not disciplined for what she's doing. She took her women, get this, on a retreat. She gave them each a piece of clay and told them to form a little Asherah statue so they could worship the forbidden divine feminine. Do you know who Asherah was? She was the wife of Baal. These are false gods that the Jews were forbidden to worship. She wants you to worship the goddess Asherah. Well, recently, Stacy Bourne, the pastor, and her church in California had a feminist Christian workshop. And they invited to speak at their workshop, actually it was a conference, they invited the priestess of Isis to come speak. Isis was a pagan Egyptian god. There's some pagan worshiping woman out there. They brought her in to speak to the group. The ELCA headquarters heard some complaints, as they should have. Did they discipline Pastor Stacy? No, they said, we need to reach out to all kinds of people, and they basically defended the conference. What is Pastor Stacy reaching out to them with? Asherah! And also a speaker from ELCA headquarters went and spoke at that conference. Next, the head bishop of the ELCA is the very liberal Bishop Mark Hansen. Guess who he spoke to recently? He was the keynote speaker at the Lutherans Concerned conference. Lutherans Concerned is the active gay lobby within the ELCA that helped push the church 3 years ago to ordain practicing homosexuals, and Mark Hansen goes to speak to them. Now, what does he speak to them about? If he went there to speak and say, you know, you need to repent of homosexual behavior, I'd be fine with it. He didn't mention repentance. Instead, he congratulated them on helping turn the church around. I quote, I greet you in the name of Jesus. Often I'm asked, Bishop Hansen, what is your favorite Bible passage? I often go to 2 Corinthians 5. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. It really says he is, but Mark Hansen is very feminist sensitive. He changes things. Everything has passed away. See, everything has become new. And I read that, and I read a comment. If Bishop Hansen thinks we're new creatures in Christ, why is he telling people to go back to old sins? He says, I am so grateful for the church the ELCA is today, a church committed to welcoming all while valuing our differences and respecting diversity. Through this unity and diversity, we show forth the body of Christ. I'm also grateful for you, the Gay Lesbian Lobby. You have remained in the ELCA as you have worked for us to become a fully inclusive church. You stayed actively engaged in congregations. You have exhibited perseverance in times of discouragement, and you have led the way, testifying to the joy that many are experiencing as a result of the decision 3 years ago. Joy, they've lost thousands of people in the ELCA because of that horrible decision. I believe we are now at a time of high expectations of the Holy Spirit. Fears are giving way to faith, to a living, daring confidence in God's grace. God is always giving God's self away for the life of the world. Did you catch that? Mark Hansen can't bring himself to say God is giving himself for the life. God is giving God's self. There is no such word as God's self. We join together with other congregation, listening to God as God speaks God's promise. Again, can't say his for God. Last fall, while visiting one of our ELCA church colleges, a student sat down with tears in his eyes. He said, Bishop Hansen, I never thought I would meet you and thank you. He said that through high school, he came out as a young gay man, and all he heard from the church or religious community was condemnation. Then I found a church where I am welcome, embraced as I am, who I am. It was an ELCA congregation. Yes, Bishop Hansen says, that is who we are as a church. Well, listen, we should welcome sinners of every kind and stripe into the church, but we don't tell them, keep sinning. If we love people, we say, repent. Let's move on to now the Presbyterian Church USA. They just had their national convention in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I attended it. I sat at a table where I was part of a ministry to help people out of homosexuality. Sadly, the PCUSA, Presbyterian Church, followed the ELCA, and a year after the ELCA voted to ordain practicing homosexuals, PCUSA Presbyterians voted to do the same thing. So I'm sitting at this booth to help people out of homosexuality. The three booths next to me have rainbow sashes and pins, and they're all for gay behavior in the church. In fact, the booth on the end was the gay lobby. It's called More Light Presbyterians. And they had knitted maybe 1,000 of these rainbow scarves that people put around their neck. And I can't tell you how grieved I was to see these old white-haired Presbyterians, some of them who could barely walk, wearing the rainbow sash. And to see a mom and a dad put this sash around the necks of their 7-8-year-old kids, it grieved me. And they were everywhere. Well, so the big deal was going to be, will the Presbyterians vote to change the definition of marriage? A man comes up to me at the booth, his name was Christopher, and he says to me, I'm all for love, I'm all for families, two men, two women, doesn't matter, I'm for it all. And I said to him, I have this struggle. I've struggled with this same-sex attraction temptation most of my life. It's still a sin. 1 Corinthians 6 says, if you get into that behavior and don't repent, you're going to hell. So I said, for the sake of Christ and for the sake of my soul, I say no to this. Well, he didn't quite know what to do with that. All right, then a woman comes up, I don't know, maybe 60 years old. She says to me, what do you think of gays and lesbians in loving, committed relationships? I said, I think they're sinning. And again, I said, I have that struggle. That's my temptation in life. But I say no to it for the sake of Christ and because I'd like to go to heaven. And 1 Corinthians 6 says, if you get into that, like these loving, committed, gay relationships, if you don't get out of that, you're going to hell. Well, we had quite the talk. And she said at the end, well, we disagree on this, but we're still brothers and sisters in Christ. And I didn't say anything. Are we? I don't know. God knows. He'll judge all this, but boy. All right, well, then came the opening worship service of the Presbyterian Convention, and this was the most grievous thing of all. During the opening worship service, dancers came out with rainbow banners and hung the rainbow banners on the cross. Then they had the Holy Communion service. The Holy Communion table was decorated with rainbow banners, the table of the Lord. Well, I was able to I'm a Lutheran, but I was able to speak twice to this Presbyterian convention when they had their hearings, that they had a lottery because so many people wanted to speak. My number got drawn, and I got to the microphone, and I said to these people, because they're going to debate on whether to change marriage, and I said, don't. I said, I have this struggle. The last thing I want is for the church to change marriage from being one man and one woman. And I told them, I said, you know, I had a radio interview say, you know, Pastor Brock, why don't you embrace this part of yourself? And I said, I'm glad I didn't, or I'd be dead. People my age who embrace this stuff died 20 years ago. And again, I said, 1 Corinthians 6, if we care about people's souls, we urge them to say no to this. I will tell you, and then I said, I violently disagree with the man who just spoke, who said what the Presbyterian Church has done by opening the door to gay clergy has so blessed the church. It hasn't blessed the church. It's hurt the church, and we're hurting people eternally by pushing this stuff. Well, then after me, a woman pastor gets up, and the Holy Spirit was so present when I did the lesbian blessing and the lesbian service this summer. Don't tell me. I have lesbians in my church. If I were to tell them I can't marry you, I'd hurt them. No, you hurt them by doing it, lady. Well, then the gay lobby group called More Light Presbyterians had their dinner. Who did they bring in for their speaker at their dinner? The Episcopal Bishop Gene Robinson, the gay bishop who's been causing lots of trouble in the Episcopal Church. But before they had him come up, the head of More Light Presbyterians said, Jesus had two dads and he turned out okay. All right, then Gene Robinson comes to the podium. He got a standing ovation. And here's what the Episcopal bishop said to the Presbyterians, the gay lobby, who helped change Presbyterian clergy standards 2 years ago. The work I think you More Light Presbyterians have done creates much confusion in the Presbyterian Church. And let me tell you, that confusion is a huge step forward from certainty. He then complained about the conservative Episcopalians who are upset that he became a bishop. But he said, how many times does Jesus say, when we stand for a loving God, we will be persecuted? If you're not getting into trouble for the gospel you preach, you don't have much of a gospel at all, said the bishop. He then said, pushing for the elimination of traditional sexual standards for clergy is, quote, it's a worthy work and it is a godly work. We will see the church repent of what the church has done with LGBT issues the same way it repented of slavery. God is revealing God's self today. Sounds like Mark Hansen of the ELCA. God didn't just stop talking when the canon was closed and take a vacation to the Bahamas. The canon is the list of New Testament books. Christians believe when Revelation was done, the Bible was closed. Well, no, God's talking now too. To him, I think. In other words, at the end of the day, there will be full inclusion. What we're seeing here is the beginning of an end to patriarchy, the rule of males. And now get this. This is weird. This is him talking, the gay bishop. In a gay relationship, a man must give up the privilege of manhood to receive the treatment of a woman. While in a lesbian relationship, a woman assumes the role of a man. According to Robinson, the disestablishment of patriarchy is why the Defense of Marriage Act must be repealed. Well, the upshot is this. The bad news is there was a move to try to get the Presbyterian Church USA to undo what they did 2 years ago and not let practicing impenitent homosexuals be pastors. They lost. The good news is by 300 to 320, something very close, they did decide to keep marriage between one man and one woman. Now, a guy that I met who's pretty savvy thinks when they have their next convention, it will go through. That's his guess. But, So anyway, quickly, let me just share with you the three things I learned from all this. Number one, Jesus said in Luke 16, the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than the sons of light. In other words, Satan's emissaries are pretty clever. They're smarter. I mean, the guys at the in booth, the gay lobby, man, were they well organized. Those rainbow sashes were everywhere, and we weren't as well organized. And the devil knows what he's doing, kind of. The second thing I learned from that convention It is time to grieve. I went from booth to booth in this large convention hall. Peace and justice issue, liberal politics, peace and justice. Now and then there was an evangelism booth, but almost never. It was all liberal politics, pro-gay stuff. And I felt like Paul in Athens. Do you remember that passage in Acts where Paul sees all these false gods on the street of Athens and he just grieved? That's the way I felt. And I thought of something. Years ago, Campus Crusade for Christ had a 3-day prayer and fasting conference. And we all just prayed for 3 days. A woman wearing a veil said, let's get on our knees and grieve. And she said, let's grieve for the 4,200 babies killed every day in America. Let's grieve for the fact that America is the biggest producer and exporter of hardcore pornography worldwide. Let's grieve for all the broken marriages. Let's grieve for all the abused children. And I want to tell you, I don't cry much. I was weeping. The whole convention was weeping. You know, it's time for us to grieve over what is happening, not just to America, but especially the American church. And the last thing I learned from all this, it's time to leave. If you're in the United Church of Christ, if you're in the Presbyterian Church USA, if you're in the ELCA Lutheran Church, if you're in the Episcopal Church in America, it's time to leave. It's, you know, there are good options. If you're a Presbyterian, you can join the PCA, Presbyterian Church in America. They're great evangelicals. You can, if you're a Lutheran, you can join the Missouri Synod or the AFLC, Free Lutherans. I mean, there's good options. You don't have to stay in these horrible denominations. And you might say, but Pastor, I've been in my church for 50 years. I'm sorry, it's still time to leave. Don't give these denominations your money. Find a good evangelical branch of your denomination and go for it. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor's Study where we now ask Pastor Brock to share with us his knowledge of Scripture and insights to answer questions we have regarding the Bible, our Lord, and our everyday walk with Him. Pastor Brock, how do these churches get around the plain teaching of Scripture on things like homosexuality, mm-hmm. abortion, the things you were talking about?
Well, they don't. They think they do. I'll tell you one ELCA liberal pastor I was arguing with in his office once, his response, when I showed him Romans chapter 1, which is doggone clear that homosexual behavior is a sin, he said, quote, well, we have greater insight today than the Apostle Paul had when he wrote that. In other words, the Holy Spirit inspiring Paul was wrong, and I'm right. So that's the way some of them get around it, that we know more now.
Okay, Pastor Brock, you were a Lutheran minister. I could understand you attending that ELCA convention, but how exactly did you end up at the Presbyterian National Convention?
I have a Presbyterian friend. He's a pastor. He's part of this group called One by One. It's a ministry helping people out of homosexuality. He knows my struggle and my story, so he said, would you please come sit the booth with us? And that's how I got there, Jackie.
Were the people that were supporting people getting out or fighting against this in the minority at that convention?
The good news is we won on the issue of marriage.
Right.
So most people voted for traditional marriage. If you would have looked out of over the crowd and seen all those rainbow sashes, you would have definitely thought you're in the minority. But at the end of the day, on that one issue, we won.
Do you think that the different states that are taking this issue on are going to influence other churches?
Well, yes. That's what the woman pastor, I think, from Massachusetts, well, you know, her point, I think, was this is legal now in Massachusetts. Don't make it so I can't do it.
Okay. Yeah. Do you think that these false teachers, because you believe they're false teachers,
yes.
right? Okay. Are they really Christians?
You know, when the woman said to me at the table, you know, we disagree on this, but we're still brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, will she be in heaven with us? I don't know the answer to that, Jackie. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says there's two kinds of people. They both are building a house. They both have the foundation of Christ. One builds with wood, straw, stubble. The other with diamonds and precious jewels, etc. Judgment day comes and the fire comes against the house. The guy in the wood, straw, stubble house, his house gets burned up, but he himself, it says, shall be saved, yet only as through fire. In other words, he goes to heaven because they had the right foundation, but he goes smoking in. And then the other guy, that fire comes, his work remains. He goes to heaven with a reward. You know, whether these people have gone so far they're not even in the category of Christian, or whether they're the kind that will make it into heaven, but by the skin of their teeth. God will have to judge that one.
You know, Pastor Brock, the Lutheran church I belong to, Hope Lutheran in North Minneapolis, had the same struggle with leaving the ELCA, and they did. And I'm one of those 40-year members that had that feeling that we need to stay there and preach the truth to the people that were in the ELCA.
Yeah.
What do you say? Should people in these churches stay and try to be light to this, or is it beyond that?
I think there was a time when you could argue that way, because they hadn't made these horrible decisions that they're not going to undo. So, Jackie, there was a period of my life, a lot of my years, that I stayed in the ELCA and tried to turn it around. We went to conventions every year. Boy, they got sick of us. But, Jackie, it's a new day. When these churches have officially taken a stand that is so offensive to God, and there's not even this much of a sign of the ELCA, the Presbyterian, or the Lutheran church turning around, it's time to get out of those denominations.
Very briefly, how has this all happened? Where did we go wrong?
Well, I'll tell you one of the things that started it. Back in the 1920s, and I'm German, the German Lutheran theologians in the seminaries over there started teaching that the Bible contains myth, and the Bible is true and false, and Bultmann and some of these very heretical theologians. And then they came to America, and now we've got the mess called the ELCA Lutheran Church.
Are there churches that are still continuing to teach the gospel?
Yeah, I would say, all these big non-denominational Bible churches, they still believe in the Bible.
Okay.
You've got, the Southern Baptists. The largest church in America is the Catholics, the second largest Southern Baptist. Both the Catholics and the Southern Baptists hold the line on these moral issues. So there are churches that are still teaching the truth.
Well, Pastor Brock, there's so much more that we could talk about on this. I think we'll probably have to have another show at another time because we've only got 25 seconds left.
Okay.
We want to thank you for being a part of this ministry, those of you who have been praying for the continuation of it and for the new venture that we're making. Check out our website. It's going to show up at the end of the program to see where this ministry has evolved from, where it intends to go or would like to go, and pray about what part you can have in helping our ministry to expand as God would have it willed. Thanks for being with us. God bless until we're together again next time.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the gospel of Christ because of our generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you today and always. If you would like a DVD copy of this program or past programs, please visit us at pastorstudy.org, a place to learn biblical Christianity.